We now begin the shift from Thanksgiving to Christmas. It's hard to believe that the year 2020 will be over in just a little over 30 days. And all God's people said, amen, amen. I know. Welcome. If you're joining us online today, I love you and miss you guys dearly. So grateful that we can connect through our broadcast together. And I just look forward to the day that God reunites all of us together to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth in this building. But I know that we are still the church. And even though we are apart today, you are still a part of the collective cry of worship that we raise to God. And you're also at home, a collective part of our learning experience and what God wants to teach us and reveal to us today. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you had a good time with your family. Hopefully you were safe with your health. I know many people are choosing right now to stay kind of away from people, and so I want to respect that as well. But we had a wonderful time with my immediate family, my parents and my sister. We gathered together, and I had the pleasure this year of smoking a turkey. Now, if you know me, right? I'm a smoked meat person. That's my love language. And so I had never smoked a turkey before, and so I did a lot of research in the head of the game to make sure that I didn't produce something that would be, you know, turkey jerky for my family, you know. And so the preparation started well in advance in selecting the bird and then letting it thaw out. And then the night before, a lot of preparation went into that. And then I placed it on its glorious smoker early in the morning. And I sat so close to it, my wife commented that I feel like you're watching a toddler, you know. And I'm like, I don't want to mess this thing up. And so worked really hard to, you know, to get that right, and it came out just so perfect, and I was so excited about that, and brought it to the family party, let it rest for about an hour, and brought it to the family party, and it was just so much fun to, you know, to hear people celebrate my barbecue prowess. It was good for my humility, you know. And I'm making a point with this, though, so I'm not just trying to be indulgent by giving you my cooking skills, although I want you to know that. It's important to me. But, you know, what's interesting to me is we ate a lot of turkey. We ate a lot of turkey on Thanksgiving, like probably you did. And with that amount of turkey, it was delicious. And then we had leftovers. Who still has leftovers of Thanksgiving turkey in their house? Many of you still have leftovers of Thanksgiving turkey in your house. And the thing about leftovers, and although we like leftovers, that's kind of fun, they get old real quick, don't they? There's something about them that's like suddenly you're like, man, this is so good on Thanksgiving Day. That night when you have it again for dinner, it's still pretty good. And the next day when you have it for lunch, it's okay. And then the next night when you think you need to have it for dinner, you're like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think I can do that. And so, and the other thing about it is when you reheat turkey or any kind of poultry in the microwave, which is how we do it, it changes the flavor, doesn't it? You know, if you overdo it, you put it in the microwave, it just changes the flavor and the taste of the meat. And again, I'm going somewhere with this. There's something about that microwaving experience that is completely different than that slow cook, long cook experience that takes place. And when we can present our, and so let me just kind of make a connection to what I'm hoping that you'll understand about this application today, is that our relationship with God is much like that kind of Thanksgiving meal. And that there's a lot, when we spend a lot of time in preparation, and when we spend a lot of time in that fellowship moment where we create this meal and we do all those things, there is a huge benefit to doing that. For you and for others. I know for me, as I spent time over that barbecue grill, spent time the night before preparing for it, the morning of spending time dealing with that turkey and cooking it all day long, I smelt like smoke. And when I went to our Thanksgiving party, even though I took a shower, I could still smell the smoke on me. And the benefit for the time that I spent early in the morning actually bled over not into just my joy, but it brought joy to the rest of the family. Now, I want you to think about that in a spiritual application. That when you and I spend time with God with an intentional amount of time, which always begins the night before. My time with God always begins the night before. I have to commit before I go to bed that tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and spend time with God. And then I wake up early, and if I spend unhurried quality of time with God, then I have a proverbial smell, like I smell like smoke all day long. I've spent time with God. There is evidence on me and in me and through me that you can tell that I've spent time with God that permeates into everything that I do, and it brings me joy, but it also brings joy to everyone around. Are you seeing the connection? This is how our relationship with God needs to be. Because when we do the alternative and we just microwave that meal and we have no pre-work involved in it and we run through it and we quickly rush through our time with God in a microwave type of setting, and then when the alarm goes off of the microwave, we've got to go get it out and we got to begin our day, it doesn't taste the same, it doesn't feel the same, it doesn't have the same benefit as it did when it was prepared and a lot of time was spent into it. Are you seeing the metaphor? Are you seeing the connection? This morning, I want to read to you a passage of scripture that God impressed upon my heart for today, and it's a short message, but I think it's a powerful message for us to pay close attention to. It begins in Psalms 27, and I'll read verses 1 through 8 together with you, and then we'll talk about a couple verses. Psalms 27, beginning in verse 1. This is King David speaking. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? This is King David. The Lord's my light and my salvation. He's encouraging his own heart. I shouldn't be afraid of things around me because the Lord is my light and my salvation. He would go on to encourage his own heart by reminding himself that the Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me and when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and they'll fall because God is there to protect me. And though a mighty army surrounds me, well, my heart will not be afraid. And even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Listen to what King David says in verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in his temple, for he will conceal me when their trouble comes, and he will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. And then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me, and at his sanctuary I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing praises to the Lord with music. He says, hear me as I pray, O Lord, and be merciful and answer me, because my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. This morning I want to read to you, this is David's prayer to God, and I want to read to you in verse 4. I want you to read this slowly and intentionally with me. And I'm going to ask our piano player, Nathan, to come out this morning and to just play as we reflect over these pieces, because my plan is not to preach to you today, but to let God speak to you today. I hope that happens every time we're together. But this morning, with high intentionality, I want you to be leaning in and listening to what King David wrote in verse 4. Underline that in your Bible or in your app or wherever you're using it. But here's what he would say in Psalms 27, verse 4. We just read it, but let's pay attention deeper to it. The one thing that I ask of the Lord, and the one thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple. Leave that verse there on the screen just for a moment. Let's stare into this verse. And what was the one thing that David asked of the Lord? He wanted to dwell or live in the house of the Lord. What does that even mean? He wanted to live in the house of the Lord. He wants to experience, dwell. What does it mean? It means to inhabit, to understand. There's something about the presence of God there that is David's trying to capture. It's the one thing that I ask. It's the one thing that I seek. I just want to be in your presence. I want to experience delighting in your perfections. And I just want to meditate in your temple. David just wants to spend time with God. I wonder if I could have a transcript of each and every one of your prayers. If you would just go back and think of the transcript of your prayers, if they were on display for all the people to see. I wonder what it is that the observer would say was the one thing that you're asking for, that you beg God for, that you desire more than anything. What would be that one thing in your prayer? Would it be a constant chronic need? Would it be a challenge or struggle that you're facing and it's repeated? Would it maybe be a habit or a sin that you keep returning to? And it's the one thing you keep talking to God about? Or is the one thing that you're praying for God and praying to God is the same thing that King David says? I just want to dwell with you. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to experience your greatness. I just want to feel your love. I believe David's just poetically describing his relationship with God to us. His daily desire to spend time with God, treasuring his friendship, being captivated by God's mercy and grace, being blown away at God's patience with him and God's forgiveness for David after he'd sinned so many times against his body, against his nation, and against his Lord. I imagine that David spent many hours in prayer, in gratitude to God, thanking God for the wisdom and discernment that God provided David as he led the nation for his daily tasks. I can imagine that as he dwelt with God, as he spent time in his presence, that it would embolden him and it would strengthen him and encourage him to have the strength to fight the battles that faced him on almost a daily basis. And that David, I'm sure, spent time in God's presence just resting before him. Resting in the protection that God has given him every day of his life when his foes were attacking. And David would dwell with God, finding rest for all his anxieties and all his fears that plagued him all the days of his life. So what about you? What is that one thing that you would pray about and that you do pray about? Is it to spend time and to seek God and to spend time in his presence? This morning, I want to ask you to simply pray with me just for a moment. And then we're going to look at another verse. And I want to challenge you based upon this next verse we're going to look at. But this Thanksgiving, this season, as we try to finish 2020 well, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to spend time asking this question before God. The first question is, it's a question to you, and that's this. How do you evaluate right now your relationship with God and the time that you're spending with him? Is it intentional, or is it hurried? Is it bountiful, or is it dismal? Is it adequate or is it inadequate? Is it fulfilling or is it a strain? And this morning what I want you to do based upon that answer is I just want you to spend a minute or two with God. I'm going to be quiet here on the stage. I want you to do this at home as well or wherever you're watching this message. I want you to simply pause and I want you to ask God, what is it that you want from me, God? What more do you need from me? What do you hear in your heart that God is saying to you this morning? Would you bow your heads and just simply ask that to God? It's a private conversation with him. What does God want with your relationship? Let's pray now. Father, this morning, we collectively seek you to ask you, God, what would you want more with our relationship with you? Our heart, Father, is leaning out right now, reaching out and listening for what it is that you would want from us. For many, Lord, it's the fact that they just need to take more time with you. Father, what was it that King David did? It was his one prayer. It was his one desire. What caused him? How did he become a man that would lean into you that way? Will you teach us this morning and show us from your word? For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So continuing on, in Psalms 97, Psalms 27, King David would say these words. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. King David would hear God's words say, come and talk to me. And King David's heart responds, Lord, I am coming. When you were praying this morning just a moment ago, were you finding yourself hearing from God where he was saying, I need to spend more time with you. I need more time with you. Do you sense that inside your heart that God just saying, look, I love you, but we just are not connecting right now. I need more time with you. I want you to dwell with me. I want you to experience me. I've got so much to offer you. I have so much strength that I want to give you. I'm extending my patience and my mercy and my love and my forgiveness to you. I continually reach across the aisle, and all I'm asking for you to do is just spend some more time with me and fellowship with me. But I get your leftovers. I get these microwave minutes that I get with you. And man, I long to experience all of the preparation and all of the longing and all of the time that you would take with me. But yet you're so busy. And you have every reason in the world that you can justify why I only get this much of your time when the rest of the world gets all of you and I want all of you. Do you hear in your heart right now, is it speaking to you? Do you hear God's voice in your heart saying, come and talk with me? I have answers for you. I have help for you. I have encouragement for you. I have strength for you. I have confidence for you. I have wisdom for you. I have direction for you. I have healing for you. Do you hear in your heart where God's saying, come and talk to me? And if you do, will you be just like David to say these words, Lord, my heart responds, I'm coming. Do you have a desire in your heart to hear God that way? I pray that you do. Because there's a cost to living your life distant from God, and you're already experiencing this. You already know it. There's a frustration. Your life is unproductive. It's unfruitful. There's empty moments. Jesus would tell you that in John 15:5, I am the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And you're experiencing what that feels like to do nothing. You're experiencing what it feels like to be apart from the vine. God is saying, I just want more time with you. So this morning, will you do that? Will you make yourself available to God? Do you hear him call? If you hear him wanting more time with you, that means that you need to make a change in your schedule and your priorities, making yourself available to him. Some of us had much time off during the holidays, and we'll get many more days off because of the Christmas season and New Year's. And either God will get extra time from you or he'll get no extra time. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Will you prioritize your time with him? Not your leftovers,
but your first fruits. What needs to change in order for you to answer with your heart responding, Lord, I am coming? It's a simple message, but it is challenging. And my guess is that each and every person at the sound of my voice knows that God wants them to spend more time with Him. Some more than others. Some of you are convicted to such a degree right now because you sense in your heart that God has just kind of sucker punched you today, like, oh, I needed to hear that. As much as it hurts, as much as you know you need to hear that today. It is time for your heart to respond, Lord, I am coming. I am available. And I pray for you. And then would you stand with me and sing this final song? Father, I know that including myself, that you desire to spend even more time with me. And oh, how weak I feel when I disconnect from the vine, even for the shortest amount of time. And how unsatisfying it is, God, when my time with you is cut short to these microwaved minutes that I give you. I try to accomplish so much in such little time, and I know it breaks your heart. But Father, I mean, look, I'm human, and I know what it's like. And so if it happens to me, Lord, that it's happening everywhere else, that us as believers, Lord, we have time that we focus on ourselves and we take our eyes off of you. In some seasons of our lives and in storms, we're great at fixing our eyes on you. But it's in those down times that we have a hard time doing that. But Father, King David tells us today, the one thing I ask, the one thing that I seek is to dwell with you, to live with you, to spend time with you. And he heard, Lord, King David says, my heart heard you calling. And you said, come and talk with me. And his heart responded, I am coming. And Lord, this is the desire of my heart, to be a man after your heart, to continually hear in my heart asking you an invitation to come and join me. And that I would respond with my heart and say, here I come. Lord, I pray that every man and woman and student that hears my voice today would desire the same thing, that their heart would listen out for you to say, come and speak with me. And our hearts say, Lord, I'm coming. Today, Father, it can be a revival in our spirit if we would just apply this to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?